It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's f***ing.
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports 1140.
All right, let me give you some scheduling here. I want you to write everything down, please. Okay. All right, so at 7:27, that's 26 minutes from now, Kevin Herter.
Yes.
All right, then we're going to talk to Rashawn Holmes at 8:13.
Okay, we like him too.
By the way, at 8 o'clock, Sean Salisbury.
Okay.
And you know
what?
It's
out of order.
I know.
I got it.
And by the way, we don't just do this for us. We're like basically your radio TV guide, if you get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up today at 4 o'clock, you'll hear Cattles and Rami talking to Malik Monk.
Malik!
And then 5 o'clock, Keegan Murray.
The Rook.
Keegan Murray.
Just poised.
I'm curious how that interview went. How's your offseason? It was great. Good. Actually, we kind of watched. He was anime.
Yes,
he's not Tim Duncan-y robot.
No.
But he's an animated dude. Get to hear from two of the newest members of your Sacramento Kings, and we saw all the members of the Sacramento. Stop. Okay, we saw the Sacramento Kings yesterday. It's really lame that guys like you and Chris Verlotte have trained me to stop myself. I have an internal alarm. So that I know you guys won't take me out of context and post it.
Never.
I could have just broadcast regularly, but no. You guys are all immature.
What did we do?
You guys just, the thing, we're all, I'll say something out of context.
We're immature.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because oftentimes you have been, by many esteemed broadcasters in this city, been known as like the beacon of maturity.
I agree. Mm. And that is why.
You got that a lot yesterday.
Oh.
Like they say, like they have like their Mount Rushmore of like this, those like straight guys that
right
give
at
you
it.
Right at it. It's like Stan Atkinson.
Yes.
Walt Gray.
Yep. Dale Shornack.
Dale Shornack. Carmichael Dave.
Thank you. Well, there was a lot of maturity going on yesterday at the practice facility.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a real mature transition.
It was fun to see. All the people again, right? The people that cover the team, but certainly Mike Brown and Monty and then all the players. That was great.
Yeah.
Good vibe.
And there was every year, we talked about this. What is Media Day? It's where goofuses like us get access at the beginning of the year. It's also where you get a lot of business done. And by business, I mean, you know, not only are we visiting with the players, but we'll have them, you know, when you hear during game broadcasts, hey, this is Keegan Murray. You're listening to... your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports 1140, whatever. Yeah. That's where we get all that done. Same thing on TV and for other things. One of the things was, I don't know what it was for, and I'm pretty sure it was for Kings Television, but the players had to scream.
Yeah. I thought that might even be an in-arena, like, let's get loud, rah, you know, but I don't know for sure. You might be right.
I think, yeah, you're right. It might be that, too.
Yeah.
And
for the
so
big board or
the,
something.
The players would scream. And one of them, I'm not sure who, Scrome?
Yeah, that's the right word.
Scrome. While Mike Brown was across the whole practice facility.
Yeah. Talking to all the media, yeah.
Yeah. And Mike's into it, man.
Every time you step out on the floor, no matter who you face, it's a challenge. And for me, having that competitiveness... Regardless,
does that concern you?
No. I love it.
I was on, because I do this, and it's really sad that I do. I was on King's Reddit as I go every day amongst my different stops.
Okay,
and I went there specifically.
That too is a healthy place.
It really is. I went there very specifically. And I'm never disappointed by King's Reddit, very specifically to see if they had posted a video of Mike Brown screaming, but mainly because I wanted to see if anyone was angry about it.
Okay. Angry?
And all right. This one guy goes, cringe, This has hello, fellow kids energy. Before y'all jump down my throat, have you ever seen Greg Popovich or even Brad Stevens do something like that? It's like he's been fired so many times, he's sucking up to keep his job. And for the record, yes, I'm biased. I don't think he should have been hired. And I'm going to credit Reddit here. Credit Reddit. Like, everyone jumped on this guy. Like, dude, it's not that serious. He's having fun. It's awesome. Right. But there's always one guy out there, and I knew I was there live when he did it, and I just knew somebody would be out there. Be like, that's just not professional. That's just not. No, you saw very quickly. I don't know that there's some deep bond there, and I don't know that it's not like we have a thermometer for bonding we could check, but it seemed like, and you can tell, no player's going to come out and be like, yeah, I wasn't really a fan of the hiring. Don't really trust him, and he's going to have to earn. No, but you can tell when guys are being legit or not, and it seemed, at least now, they're very excited to have somebody who's defensively oriented come in.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Like, so we spent a lot of time together, you and I, and we talked to a lot of the same people, but sometimes we were separated and talked to people individually. So based on those other conversations you had, and I saw you talking to, you know, some of the same people I did, Monty, Wes Wilcox, and just G-Man, other people around. I know it probably sounds like we say this all the time. It did feel a little different to me. Mm-hmm. The vibe of the current players, new coaches. That doesn't mean they're winning 50 games.
Sure.
I felt like they were very, like, collectively optimistic. And to your point, they're never going to go, well, I think we're going to go 25 and 57 this year. Nobody's ever going to say that. But it just feels like everybody feels like the roster is good. Excited about a new coach. I mean, that, again, could be an epic failure, could be wildly successful. I don't know. But there just was a good vibe. That's all I'm saying. I don't even know what that means. But I thought there was a lot of optimism yesterday.
I think there was.
Yeah.
And
for whatever that's worth.
Every team's going to be optimistic to a point in training camp. But it's like, you know what? I'll go back to an argument I was having with my wife when I said, she said something I completely disagreed with. And I said, I believe that you believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that these guys believe things are different.
Right.
And that this could be the season where they wipe that 16.
Yeah, but they got to show it. They got to prove it.
They have to.
Yeah.
And a lot of them said a variation yesterday of the exact right thought, which is, we weren't here for most or all of this streak. That has nothing to do with us. We can't be blamed for anything before. All we have is the games in front of us and the team we have in front of us. That being said, and we'll get into this, you know, as we get closer to the season starting, there's still some very, very serious questions about certain aspects of the squad. I'll tell you this much. If Mike Brown comes in and he's able to lay in his defensive vision. I was talking to a Kings official yesterday, and we were having a very – and this is one of those people that in the past – this person will be very honest. You know, if they didn't like a move, if they didn't like a player, whatever it may be, because it's off record and blah, blah, blah. And we were having a conversation about Mike. He said, well, what do you think of the team this year? I said, I think they're better, but I still don't know who's playing defense. And that's my big concern. He said, well, that's why – he goes, I hear you. He goes, that's why we brought in Mike Brown, though. And I said, yeah, but here's my thing. Mike Brown Mike Brown had LeBron James helping run the show in Cleveland. Mike Brown had Draymond Green anchoring the
– all fair.
And so this person told me an anecdote of when Mike Brown took over in Cleveland, Zydrunas Ilgauskas was thought of as a defensive sieve, just no defense.
Okay.
And he said the way that Mike broke down basic defensive principles in a way that Zydrunas could understand them and that others could understand them, he said it was like watching a light flicker on in the eyes of a lot of these guys. Understanding buy-in, team concept, accountability, making them really take the same type of pride in their defense as their offense. And he said, and part of it was that Mike would make sure when doing acknowledgments in the locker room, acknowledgments in practice, he would actually lean more. You know, guy goes out there and scores 38, he's going to get acknowledged. But the guy who's maybe 18 and 7, versus the guy that held the 27-point score to 19 on bad shooting, that's the guy he's going to promote and focus on to create this team culture where everybody takes that. People want to be noticed. They want to be rewarded. They want to be talked about. So his job as a motivator and a psychologist would be to focus more and put that touch on the defense. And the Cavs' defensive rating improved dramatically under Mike. Now, for me, Jason, of all the conversations I had yesterday, that was the one that excited me the most.
Yeah.
And I had to share it. Like, doesn't mean it's going to work here.
Exactly.
But I think we both agree. We talked about this before. Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox, Rashawn Holmes. They can play defense. Mm-hmm. We've seen it. Obviously, Davion can.
Right.
But it's a matter of can you do it for 48 minutes?
Yeah. And more consistently, game to game, as many minutes, as many games as they could do that, they're going to be better off.
We've got the best and worst from the NFL's Week 3. Also, we'll ask a question about something else looming over King's Media Day as well. It's been a thorn in the butt for a couple people, including myself. I don't know what the phrase is. We'll do that next.
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
Yeah, like one is, you know.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
And the other is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Three for madness brought to you by.
Me.
Paul in the YouTube chat.
Oh, God.
Hey, Paul.
Paul's getting some love.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. How are you doing? And hey, Paul. Saw Tim in there earlier. I would watch a TV show with Paul and Tim living together just to see like how they get on each other's nerves constantly.
They would definitely bother each other for then, sure.
And then MC's the neighbor next door that's like offended at everything they do constantly. Just he's like Kramer, but very offended.
Where does Chris Guerrero fit into that show?
He's in the basement.
He's Newman.
For a show you've never seen.
But isn't he though?
Probably.
Like.
No, Paul has a lot more Newman vibes than Guerrero does. Guerrero has the Kramer vibes. Like, Guerrero's, you know, walking around with no underwear and loving every minute of it.
Yeah, that's really, really true. Well, God, and that's a visual I don't want. Three for madness.
Too late.
J. Mars, question one.
Who had the best week three from the National Football League?
National. Mike McDaniel, I think. He has had
a dream start.
And the fact that they're able to, despite the butt punt, that they're able to go into, have Buffalo come into Miami and pull that win off. They're 3-0. They haven't been playing, you know, all cupcakes here. They beat the Patriots. They went into Baltimore and beat the Ravens, and now they've beaten the Bills. Now, they got the Bengals in Cincinnati next week and a Jets team that behind the cannon of Joe Flacco isn't exactly rolling over for everybody. But I think Mike McDaniel right now has firmly inserted himself into the Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McDermott group of young Brat Pack bro coaches that are really the next generation of out with the Belichicks and in with these guys. I there's a lot of guys to pick from. But
yes.
Boy, did he have a great week.
That's a great one. I had put three teams down. You took an individual, which is a great call. I'd put the Dolphins because obviously you beat the Bills. That's a great win. Sure. And even Tua in there because I personally had some question marks about him. I don't know that they saved their season, but the Colts, it's a really nice win to kind of redirect where they were to beat the Chiefs. And the other one, I'm going to go to last night. I think anytime you win with your backup quarterback, and now you've done it twice, Cowboys would have been fine if they lost to the Giants last night. But to win another game without their backup quarterback or with their backup quarterback, knowing your starter is coming back, where to get to 2-1, to stay, that's a really good win for the Cowboys when you win with the backup.
Can I throw an honorable mention?
Sure.
Kind of in the same lines as Mike McDaniel. Nobody's talking about Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
You go into Jacksonville, a perennially crap team, taking over for the Urban
the
Meyer
stink of, yeah.
Right. And they're 2-1.
Yeah.
And they just beat the Chargers. They waxed the
Chargers.
Crushed
them. Yeah.
So
that's a good one.
All right. Number two.
Question two.
Kind of have a feeling I know what the answers are going to be here, but I mean, there's several to choose from. Who had the worst week three in the NFL?
Hey, listen, maybe it's bias, but I'm going to say the San Francisco 49ers. It's not just the loss. It's the way they lost. It's almost the comical way Jimmy Garoppolo played. It's the loss of Aziz Al-Shaair. It's the loss of Trent Williams.
Big deal. What a loss associated with the Niners.
It was all losses. And they're already hurting. It's just there were no positives out of this week other than the thought, which you don't want to have, which is, well, you can't get much worse. Trey Lance gone. Kittle finally came back. And now Trent Williams, who, by the way, this just in, you could make an argument that Trent Williams is a bigger loss than Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
I think a really good argument.
Great argument.
Oh, I think on the micro, it's not even an argument.
Now, please understand, I'm not trying to compare Trey Lance to Trent Williams. Trent Williams, first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm saying as far as effect on the
Absolutely.
Overall team goes.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal, no pun intended. The Niners, to me, they had a horrible week.
Yeah, I don't even. The only other thing, a team, I thought it was the Raiders just because you go to 0-3. Sure. But it's the Niners. It's the totality of what you just said. It's Trent Williams. It's everybody now questioning Jimmy G, and fairly so because he was awful.
Yeah.
The defense, you wasted a game. It's another game you've given up. You're going to lose a game or two during the year. You go, man. That one they probably should have got. Well, they've only played three games, and two of them they should have won. They've given away two games. And when you're not with your regular quarterback, I guess, I mean, we're back to Jimmy G, anytime, and you lose an impactful lineman like that, you can't give up games. And so Broncos weren't great. Niners were worse. They're to me, clearly had the worst week three.
Quick football note here. Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator for the Bills.
Yeah.
49ers quarterback legend.
Yes. You may have seen Ken Dorsey at the end of that Bills-Dolphins game. He was up in the booth, threw everything everywhere.
What a temper tantrum.
He says that he will, quote, learn from his response and correct it moving forward. And there's more in here to the story, but am I the only one that's like, I really kind of liked that. Like,
really?
I understand you don't want to do it all the time, but you've got a coach. The game's over. You've got a coach that cares that much that he loses it just a little bit. Like, there's something in
No, but he didn't lose it just a little bit. He lost it a lot of bit.
He didn't, like, punch a kitty or dive through the window is my point. Like, I would say it's a
because there was no kid available.
Okay. I don't know. There's just a part of me. Sometimes I like seeing them
Jason.
Them care.
Well, I mean, honestly, my point is this is one of the things we saw. Like, if you were told, Ken Dorsey, after the game, lost his mind at the way the Bills, all right, well, I kind of have a visual of it. Now we saw it, and we go, whoa. I think that happens a lot. We just happen to see
That's
the video.
True.
I really do.
If he's walking around Chris Farley-ing all the time, just freaking out, ripping shirts and stuff.
Okay, but that's my thing. Like, if he's walking around cursing up a storm and he's angry after the game, that's normal adult behavior. We, like, will lose it on a child if they were to break an iPad out of anger. Your child has severe issues.
But this is high-level stuff, man.
Brady throws his iPad every week.
But a grown man, there's throwing your iPad and then, like, using it to, like, try to break something else. There are varying degrees of what we do and how we treat our iPads. I felt like that one was a little out of line.
Are we really comparing kid throwing iPad to Brady throwing iPad?
No, I'm comparing kid destroying something out of anger to a grown man doing the same thing.
All right. Sadly, I remember Ken Dorsey playing for Miami in college.
Yeah.
Number three.
Question three.
Ooh, this one is fun. We haven't really touched on this for Media Day. Will Monty McNair have a contract extension by the All-Star break? You know, he was asked about that yesterday.
He was.
Yeah, what do you say? I'm here to GM now. I got a lot of work, and I hope I'm here to lay boot me, which I hope won't be for a long time. I think I'm paraphrasing. I am paraphrasing.
I know you're paraphrasing, but I felt like his energy was a little off.
What do you mean?
Meaning it was kind of like, you know, annoyed.
Oh, by the question?
Yeah.
By the lack of contract.
Yeah.
Probably both. And I'm just saying it showed.
I hear you. I also think that's an incredibly uncomfortable question for him.
Not saying it's not. I'm just saying his response was normally not his. Monty is very even-keeled in a response. You don't really get a lot of emotional response out of Monty. And I'm not saying he was super emotional about it yesterday. I'm just saying there was a different tone there.
Let's see if I think I've got it right here, just to give us a hint.
Me and my group, like, we're excited about what we've done. We're excited that Coach Brown's in here. I'm the GM right now, and, you know, I got a bunch of work to do, so I'm going to do that until they kick me out, and I hope I'm here for a long time. And I think with this team we put together, we're really going to start seeing that progress. You know, it's taken a couple years for us to kind of continue to shape the roster and, you know, get guys around Foxy and HB. And-
so you get the point.
Yeah.
I'll say it again because I hear the people who are like, well, what has he done to you? Again, the message this team should be projecting is stability. You just allowed the levels of stupid you have to allow a GM to hire a coach to a four-year deal and have that GM simultaneously on a lame duck contract. It just goes to show you that if the Kings are going to be successful, they're going to be successful in spite of upper management. That goes above Monty McNair. It's going to be in spite. They're going to have to back into it because they can't get out of their own way. You're talking about a guy that, give or take, I would say is about $1 million a year. I've explained this before. You give him a two-year, three-year extension, whatever it is, to match Mike Brown's contract with a team option. You can still fire him at the end of the year. And it's going to cost you $2 million. You're betting $2 million that you're going to hold on to the guy. $2 million in the big. They just bet a record by almost double on a AAA baseball team. You're spending $2 million to project stability and togetherness and continuity, and that matters. It matters to the players. It matters to the coaching staff. It matters to other teams, GMs, and agents. It matters in the margins. These are things fans generally don't care about, but it matters. It could be the difference between a deal or not a deal.
Yeah, so you think to this question, though, it's done by the All-Star break? Because I don't.
I don't either.
And I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't done it now, and you're above Monty, and you're deciding on this, what? So to me, then you're waiting for results of this year. I don't agree with that, but I think that's what they're doing. And the other thing I didn't agree with, kind of the way the Kings collectively even did last year, where I would have released Luke Walton before the season, or once you didn't, I would have ridden it out the entire season. That's me. I'm not in charge of that.
Right.
I would have committed to one way or the other. Here it's, what are you committed to?
You're dangling your feet.
Yeah, so either commit and say he's our guy, let's go forward. I think he's done enough to be the guy. But if you're now going to wait, then I would wait past the All-Star break. I would, but I don't think that's the right thing. But that's what I would do now.
The only way they get to some of the All-Star break if the Kings are like 26-10,
yeah,
you know, or something silly like that. Like, okay, well, we have to do it. Well, all right. Well, now you've all, and it's fine, and it's fine if that's what happens. Yeah. But there's still going to be that taste of like, oh, so you weren't sure. You just let the guy hire. You did the same thing with Vlade and Luke. You keep making, you know, in tennis, they have something called an unforced error. You keep having the same unforced errors time and time again. Your job, ultimately, is to cheer and write checks. But you keep, it's like there's just no net positive. And that's why now, after this season, if they don't make the playoffs, current ownership, they're the ones that own this losing streak more than the Maloofs did. It shifts over now.
Right.
It's not a coincidence. It's not like there's a lack of luck. It's time and time again hiring the coach before the GM, time and time again having a coach that wasn't hired by that GM, time and time again giving extensions to the wrong, not giving extensions. Like, dude, there's no net loss here. We've already laid it out. It's not a huge financial commitment. And it doesn't count against the cap. Unless, Jason, they've already figured out who their next GM is going to be.
Oh. Uh-huh. Hmm.
Maybe they're, you know, G League.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you always
guy? I'm just being that guy. I'm just being
You're putting
that.
You're putting that out there.
I'm just being, no.
Okay.
Probably not. Would it, I mean, Would you?
We gotta go.
I'm just asking if it would. Would you collapse in shock?
No.
No.
We'll take a break when we come back. I don't know why Jay's little no got me.
It's like a fading.
Let's get into the audio for Media Day. Round one, our newest friend, Kevin Herter.
My BFF.
Yes, it is. Joins us next.
Your home for the most comprehensive 49ers coverage.
Debo, Bosa, to our very own Armstead.
The 49ers Authority, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader. They've been here for a combined 50 years.
Hey!
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
So, old friends and new, yesterday at King's Media Day.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll hear from a couple of old friends. De'Aaron Fox, a very happy, seeming happy, smiling.
Well, newly married.
Newly married, yeah. De'Aaron. And then Harrison Barnes, who just... Harrison just rolls up, you know, puts a... Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yes. You want me to read this? Sure, I'll knock this out in no time.
No. And by the way, he read the station promo we had for everybody.
Well, like a little, yeah. Little something on
there
it.
There was some broadcast on there.
Yes, I could do this for a living. You know, I'm better than you at this. Yeah, you're right. You are.
There's a part of me that doesn't like interviewing Harrison Barnes because I find myself just listening to him talk and watching him and going... I love you.
And you did that, and it was really weird. The hug and embrace right. Got awkward.
But... And then when I was holding onto his ankle, he's dragging me across. Like,
seriously,
leave.
Man. Get security.
Malik Monk at 4 o'clock today with Cattles and Rami. Keegan Murray at 5 o'clock. Right now, though, our newest friend via the Atlanta Hawks, the ginger sensation, the one, the only, Kevin Herter.
Welcome to Sacramento. Are you even close to settled in yet?
I'm getting there. I've been out here for really the past month or so, getting my house set up, getting everything off the court set up. Been in the gym a lot, obviously, with all the guys, and other than the guys over in the World Cup or over at Eurobasket. So it's been going well. Definitely getting my feet under me.
So we gave you the 116-degree day. Were you here for that?
I was. I was actually my power went out during that, too. So that was a nice welcome to California.
Oh.
Yeah,
Yeah, because you don't get the humidity here, but when it's 114, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It was. I mean, it's very for me. I've felt that in Vegas before, so it was here was just new. But for the length of time, for that, I mean, it was 3-4 days. It was 115 at 6 o'clock at night. I was definitely missing the upstate New York sweatshirt weather.
So, what have you learned about Sac, the city itself? What have you taken in?
Taking a lot, obviously. Some really good fans, obviously, felt that so far. I've been out. I'm a big restaurant guy, a big food guy, going out and meeting new people. And so if you got any recommendations, as you guys look at each other, you can let me know. But obviously, smaller city feel. A lot of really good stuff around here. Heard all about, obviously, all the parks and mountains and Lake Tahoe and San Francisco and all the wineries and, obviously, good golf. So there's a lot that Sac has to offer that may not be seen by away teams when you first come in here. So I'm definitely trying to get out there and explore.
You've already gotten, I guarantee, the Mikuni sushi recommendation.
For sure.
Have you picked the sticks up and played any golf around here yet?
I have. I went to Cotadera a couple of days ago. Played a couple of the public courses so far. Trying to get Doug Christie and Bobby Jackson to take me out.
Nope.
Tight schedules so far, so me and Malik have just been trying different places out.
Doesn't the rookie, Keegan, play too?
Keegan plays. Keegan, he had to take a little of the summer off. You know, he had something he was going through. So he took a couple months. Sam Merrill's been out here. He's gone with us. Malik is trying to get into it. Actually, I played with Keegan the other day, though, and a couple of the equipment guys, coaches. So,
what's your handicap?
15.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I shoot for low 90s when I play.
Okay.
So it's getting there. I need to break 90s consistently.
Nice.
So, Doug, fine. Bobby will cheat you.
Yeah.
Careful.
Bobby.
Oh.
Bobby's
no, Bobby actually hustled me. No.
Yeah, exactly.
So we played a two-man scramble.
Yep.
It was me and Sam against Malik and Bobby.
Yeah.
I should have gotten strokes, obviously.
Bobby didn't give you any?
He didn't give me any. Oh. Well, it was one thing that wasn't really talked about. And then afterwards, they won. We pushed a lot of the holes. So I think we ended up losing like 3 holes based on his handicap. I should have gotten at least 3 or 4.
You have to work that out before with him. Also, if he loses a ball, he'll spend – he made –
like $50 million, and he'll spend 2 hours looking for the ball. Every time.
I respect that though. Balls are expensive.
So on a serious note, he's now 13, but that's my son. You can't really see here, but he has very red hair. So when we acquired you, you instantly became his favorite player. He's a basketball junkie, plays ball, the whole thing. What can you say to fellow redheaded kids, especially children like mine, to help them get where they want to go?
Yeah, I mean, being a redhead is unique. There's not very many of us. Nope. We're special. That's what you tell everybody. There's a lot of different things. You know, our pain tolerance is a lot higher. We're a lot more handsome than the average person. So there's a lot of different things that he now has going for himself that but it's great.
We got to cut this and play it right for Mason.
100% playing that for him, yeah.
Yeah. But no, he's unique. It'll be fun. We'll see how red his hair gets.
How about this team? So you've been in Atlanta, successful team. This team has not been there. They have high hopes. What do you see with the Kings this year?
It's a new group. I know a lot of the past 16 years or so that hasn't been the guys that have been in the gym here. So it's obviously a city that's felt that, but it's a new group that hasn't. There's been guys in here that have wanted a high level in this league before and are just trying to come here and do the same. And I think we're all on the same page, know what we need to do. So just got to go out there and do it.
They added shooting to this team. You're a big part of that. Obviously, Fox and Sabonis didn't get a ton of time together last year. You know, you guys make up this core that's really improved. The question I think about this team is going to be defense, and Coach Brown stresses that. How ready are you to really bear down on that level?
You have to be. Obviously, defense in the NBA, it all comes down to effort. It all comes down to can you do it for 82 games. Nature of the business is that the best offensive teams beat the best defensive teams. So I think offensively, I think we have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of potential and things that we could figure out. Just defensively, we can't be a top 15 offense and a bottom 5 defense. So, you know, for us, it's we got to compete. We got to be on the same page. We got to be together because that's a major part of it in the NBA. And then there's very few guys that are lockdown defenders that can do it on a nightly basis. And so 5 guys on the court being on the same page, all putting an effort, making the second, third effort, that's usually the most important thing. And kind of those habits are something you build in training camp. So we got to start with that.
Something Dave and I have talked on the show, like we just can't imagine in our jobs being traded tomorrow to another city. You don't choose that. It happens. Kings wanted you. Just going back to that, how it's first time it's happened to you. How was that process?
Honestly, it's wild. It is. Like, it's I'm fortunate I got traded in the off season and not mid season. I've heard mid season is pretty brutal. I'm also fortunate that I'm a single guy with nobody else around me, so just moving myself was a lot, obviously, but it's fun. It's a new adventure. When you get into this league, it's in the back of your head. It's going to happen at some point. It's the inevitable. We're so used to moving around and going to different cities and playing for new teams and playing with new guys our whole life growing up, so it's really no different. I enjoyed my time in Atlanta, but definitely ready for the next chapter.
Other than golf, what are you doing during the season on the road? What holds your interest? What are your hobbies?
Like I said, I'm a guy, when we get to different cities, I'm trying to find the best restaurants, go out and see what different places have to offer, hopefully pull a couple teammates with me if they want to go. I'll go sit at a bar by myself and eat at places, though. I like to literally get out and see different places. During the season, I'll play video games, stay off my feet. Big sports guy. I got 5 fantasy football teams going right now.
How are they doing?
I actually won all 5 leagues last week.
Wow.
And the New York Giants won. So that was...
Is that your team?
So I was 6-0 last week.
Wow.
It was a big, big week for me.
Wait, let's get your team. So who are you a fan of? Giants?
I'm a Giant. New York Giants. New York Football Giants.
Yankees?
Big. I'm like probably the biggest New York Yankees fan of any sports team.
So, Aaron Judge? Are we on the Aaron Judge watch?
No, for sure. We're on the, I've actually watched...
I'm just going to leave. Let you go.
I mean, I watch, honestly, if they play 162 games,
yeah.
I watch over 100. Like, I'm there. No, I watch.
Baseball fan, Dave. Yeah, I've got another
lot
one.
Of, yep. I mean, we have a lot of free time, you know? So between golfing and watching the Yankees at night, especially in the summer, like, what else are you going to do? So I just toss on the Yankee game. I hang out. But I've watched definitely the last week or so. And you knew he wasn't going to do it. I hate to say it. He's going to do it this week in Toronto. But stinks. 61 is crazy.
Got Giants tonight.
Giants tonight. Big game against Cowgirls. I got different coaches that obviously were putting some friendly handshakes on the line tonight. So we're excited. Giants 3-0, Super Bowl bound.
Do you play fantasy basketball?
No, I can't. I don't do fantasy.
I toss that in.
Yeah. I did fantasy basketball back in middle school, but I don't.
I was thinking about I had a chance to call one of the Kings games last year. They played Atlanta. It was here. They probably all blended together, but you single-handedly, I think, won that game. Do you have memories of that game last year here at Golden One?
Yeah, I remember. Have a good memory.
You lit the Kings up. You can say it.
I have a good memory.
Yeah.
That was fun. I mean, it wasn't fun. We had so many guys out for COVID.
We were
on a long road trip, so I kind of knew it was a game that I could definitely be aggressive. And
take advantage of the defense. I said it, you didn't.
Right.
You know, I was taking advantage of my opportunity that I was given for that game.
Okay. Do you feel like you owe it to the fans and the franchise for the pain you inflicted last year to have a wonderful year this year?
Well, yes. I feel like hopefully that performance is a sign of things to come in this building. So I think I made a couple shots that game.
Yeah.
Shooter's gym.
Yeah.
Let's hope they continue to fall.
All right, welcome to Sacramento, my man.
Cool, thank you, guys.
That's Kevin Herter. He's fun.
You gonna play that for Mason?
Shit, darned right I will. I'm gonna show him that today, as a matter of fact, when he gets home. My son, he's pretty lucky when it comes to that, getting advice from Christie and Kevin Herter.
Well, I just know when Judge hits the 61st, Kevin Herter will be celebrating.
I mean, I hope he celebrates. I hope he gets a chance. We'll take a break. Okay, when we come back, we will talk to nobody because we're going to talk about this Herter interview, and we'll talk about his role, his minutes, and so much more. Sean Salisbury in 20 minutes. We'll be right back.
Breaking news, the latest happenings with your favorite teams.
You ever wonder about what the heck all these kids are doing on the computers all the time?
Stay up to date with all of it by following us on Instagram and Twitter.
Excuse me, gentlemen, a little update for you.
At Sactown 1140. No, they've been here for a combined 50 years.
Hey!
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports 1140.
Nothing to do with this segment. I want to remind you, Sean Salisbury in 20 minutes, but I was just thinking about this. Excuse me, 16 minutes. I was thinking about this during the break. Roger Federer retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Serena Williams retiring. Is that the biggest two retirements in any sports history from, like, two players?
Not in the same sport?
Maybe not even men's and women's. I'm trying to think, like, in sports history, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, I don't know.
So it'd have to be, like, Jordan with Magic.
All right.
Or
Brady, if Brady and Manning had retired the same year or something like that. Like, I haven't done the deep dive, nor will I, because I'm too lazy, but somebody has to do the deep dive. Is losing, I mean, certainly it's the biggest combined male-female retirement in any sport. It has to be, because you're talking about the greatest female player.
Yeah.
I mean, Margaret Court aside, which I still think Serena's better. And then top three.
Right.
Wherever you want to put. Right. So you're talking about two of the top three of all time in each, for each gender. I got to think, I just, again, it's off the top of my head, but now I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the day. Like, in any, what would be the equivalent now if, I mean, I don't even know if LeBron and, I don't know whether it would be,
Durant.
Whether it be an NBA or a WNBA or here would be the question. If LeBron had retired this year to go with Sue Bird.
Or Taurasi.
That would be close.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty close, but I don't know that that's. Somebody's mentioning Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan. I actually think this Federer and Serena's got to be.
Especially because it's individual, right?
Right.
Individual sport. Tiger and Phil.
Yeah, Tiger. Absolutely. Tiger and Phil. But I almost think, like, Tiger's the number one, like Serena is.
Yeah.
But then Phil, is he as high as Federer? Yeah, exactly. Anyways, it's a fun brain exercise for me. Anyways, Kevin Herter.
A lot of fun. Yeah.
He's a shooter.
Yes.
We knew, and that's what they said going into the offseason. We talked about it at the end of the season, and you know what? They followed through. They said they were going to add shooting. Number one priority. Number two priority was probably defense, and you feel like between Davion Mitchell's development, the drafting of Keegan Murray, who is an average to plus defender, which, let's be honest, is really good for this team, and then really the hiring of Mike Brown, I feel like they feel that they address the shooting with the shooters and they address the defense with the coach. I don't know if that's going to translate.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in the Herder conversation we just aired that he was talking about, you know, even the best offenses still beat the best defenses. But he followed that up with, we can't be a top, you know, I think he's a top five, top 10 offense and be a bottom five defense. That's just too drastic. So we've said this for years, like, you know, the Kings have just been so bad defensively. Of course we'd love them to be a top five defense. I think that's unrealistic to make that jump.
I agree.
But, Dave, what would the numbers be if this is – and the other part that got lost last year is the offense dropped dramatically. They were no longer a top 10 offense. They had dropped down. But if this can be a really high-level offense with a 15th-ranked defense, 17th-ranked defense, 12th-ranked, 20th – now, you start to get past 20, 25, 27, like where they've been in the 28, 29, 30 range, you lose a lot of games strictly because of your defense. So I don't know that we're asking for a ton, but I think improvement needs to happen, and I think it's going to happen and capable of happening. How much more will that help the team?
I think, oh, my God, if they were a top 20.
Okay, if you go number 20, that's not a – I don't think that's a huge ask.
If you go, here's the thing. We'll just do a fun little exercise here that's not actually fun at all. If you go by defensive rating, and there's a lot of metrics here, you go by defensive rating, which is generally thought of, you know, that's a pretty accessible defensive metric. Last year, the Kings were 27th out of 30 teams. Okay. But that was actually an improvement. They actually went up three spots.
Okay.
From number 30 the year before. If you go before that, let's see. They were 19th in 2019-2020. Okay.
This is defensive rating, you said?
This is defensive rating. If it's just purely defensive rating. 2018, 21st. You keep going down and down, and I honestly think I'm. What was that? The Jaeger year, the last.
Were they 139?
Yeah, was that? I think that was that year I just said
2018. Maybe?
Yeah, because they were 27th in 2017-2018. Honestly, I want to see how far. I mean, they were top 20 that one year. 26th in 2016-17. You keep going, and this is incredibly boring. I understand that. You keep going down and down and down and down and down the list. 22nd in 2015-16. It's like, how far do we have to go? I'm just going back to 2002 because it's fun. And there we are, number two behind the New Jersey Nets, who, by the way, they would have faced in the NBA Finals. So this is a historically bad defensive team. Was the Artest year 07-08?
0506. Yeah, 0506.
0506. Just I'm just actually kind of curious now. 0506. Well, they were 11th.
Okay.
So they're a historically bad defensive team. Here's my question. If they had the best defensive coach and schemes in the NBA, I don't know if that's Mike Brown or not. Probably not, but let's say he's up there. Is this team capable of playing top 20 or top 15 defense? I mean, just capable. Capable.
Yes. I think so. I mean, I think there is a lot of things that go into defense. Certainly your own personal heart, desire, will. Okay, Dave, you scored on me. You scored on me again. You scored on me again. At some point, when is my button pushed enough to go, look, I can't – the best players, you can't stop. But am I making it more difficult? Are you always scoring me? Do we double team? Now you get into scheme or, hey, I'm not stopping you. I have to come out of the game. That's the one thing I think the Kings have a little bit more of this year, at least, is more capable players of getting minutes. And honestly, I don't know if it's as simple as that where Coach Brown goes, like we've talked a lot about the two guard. Davion, Terrence Davis, Herder, Monk, who defends the best? We look at the offense, but I don't know if it'll go that route or is your offense that special that we can't take you off the floor. And I don't know. I think he'll lean more to the defensive end, especially some of the stuff you cited earlier. Like that's what he praises. That's what he highlights. Well, that, to me, pushes Davion ahead of the rest of the group. But there's some other skill sets with those other three that if Terrence Davis is just killing it tonight and hitting six threes and defending well enough,
right,
why take him off
why
the floor?
Take him off the floor.
So I think they're in – I think they have more bodies that are able to do this. But, again, they've got to be held accountable, and they've got to do it.
I hope that you're right. I've got to be honest, though.
You need to see it.
I don't.
Right.
I do not.
Well, you haven't seen it. It hasn't been shown.
I don't, you know, the question was if they did, could they? I don't see it, and I'll give you two reasons. Go back to defensive rating from last year. The Boston Celtics were number one.
Right.
Marcus Smart, vocal leader. Number two, Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, vocal leader.
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul,
yeah,
vocal leader. Number four, the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Well, I can go on and on and on. Who on the Sacramento Kings is going to hold other players? What player on the Kings?
Yeah, player, not a coach. No.
What play? Not Harrison Barnes.
Right.
And I say that with all the love in the world. This is not me being disrespectful. Yeah. These are just good dudes.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's really small sample size. I feel like it's in Sabonis a little bit, I think. I feel like he there's a little edge to him.
Sure.
But that's a guess here. I don't think it's Fox.
It's not. I don't see it being Fox.
And Fox, again, we can't keep doing this of, well, he can play. Like,
right.
How long are we going to do that?
He's got to.
Right.
The team doesn't have a true blue rim protector. You know, because you look at number five, Cleveland. Okay, well, maybe what they lack in vocal leadership, they have Evan Mobley.
Yeah. Right. But that's why I keep going, I don't know how Davion doesn't get a lot of minutes.
I will go back to what I said earlier, is where I think there's actually a world where the Sacramento Kings are a better team when Davion Mitchell's in the starting lineup because of the defensive liability that this team is. And that, until that question is, if not solved, addressed, I'm really, really, really going to be worried about this team. Anyways, when we get back, we're going to get to football with Sean Salisbury. Right now, though, I want to talk to you about my good friends at American Energy. Hey, listen, it's September 27th. This deal expires at the end of this month. It was supposed to expire at the end of August, but they extended it because so many of you were taking advantage of the $2,500 off offer on the installation of a new HVAC system. 0% financing, payment plan options available. You have absolutely no reason to keep putting off making your home a place of comfort for you and your family. The offer expires on the 1st of October. Don't wait. Call today your local team, 916-520-9990. 916-520-9990. Been serving Sacramento since 1981. Visit AmericanEnergyAir.com. If you want to go online, if you're looking to replace your HVAC system, hey, now's the time. Go to American Energy. Don't settle with a high quote from those other guys. Get a free quote on your system from your second opinion partner. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Told you, been serving Sacramento since 1981. Go to AmericanEnergyAir.com or call 916-520-9990 and you tell them Carmichael, Dave sent you. Sean Salisbury. In just 1 minute and 30 seconds, don't go away.
Kings insiders Frankie Cardoselli and Chris Watkins give you all things Kings on the Return of the Roar podcast.
You know, with these two sitting next to me now, certainly feel comforted.
You can sign up for free at
SacktownSports.com.